Welcome to Lockdown Trivia. I'm Dalton McGee, and I'll be your host for this trivia podcast game. Playing with their own expert categories, players will try to unlock their brain one key at a time, but will they unlock it all? New episodes of Lockdown Trivia will come out every Wednesday morning, so check back each week for some more fun. If you'd like to play your own game of Lockdown Trivia, follow the link in the description of each episode to sign up. You'll need four expert categories and a favorite music genre. Stick around at the conclusion of each game for some bonus questions and for a commentary on the writing of the questions of that episode. While there's a lot to learn from playing trivia, there's perhaps more to learn from researching and writing it. Today's guest is the incomparable Jay Borsum, and her expert categories are physics, wordplay, Bluey, and technology. Here's how Lockdown Trivia works. Players see a board in front of them with four categories and five questions of increasing difficulty in each category. The first question in each category is unlocked, but the subsequent questions require one, two, three, and four keys respectively to open. Players earn keys by answering consecutive questions correctly. If a player misses a question, I will take all of their keys. Players can only open questions for which they have a sufficient number of keys. If the player is in a pinch, they have five bonus questions available to them that cannot break a streak or hurt them, but will give them an extra key each if they answer them correctly. A perfect score in Lockdown Trivia is 25 points. Jay, where would you like to start your Lockdown Trivia game today?
Let's take a look at this board here, and where do I want to go? Let's start with physics. Why not?
All right, here's just a general physics category. Nothing goofy here. Here's your unlocked question. What SI unit of magnetic flux shares its name with the "Who do you think you are? I am" bowler and a brand of grills?
Oh, I could be wrong on this, but I swear to God I read a factoid years and years ago that said that bowler Pete Weber was from Bolingbrook, Illinois, my hometown. I think it's in the SI system properly pronounced Weber, but this is Weber. Yeah.
Yes, Weber is what I was looking for there. That is correct. I didn't know he was from Bolingbrook. That's a good place to be from if you're a professional bowler.
Yeah. No, I mean, don't quote me on that, but I swear I read something about it somewhere.
Cool. Yeah, that I wondered if you would get more in on that question with the grill or with the "Who do you think you are? I am," but I think that is a moment in internet history that we all know.
Yeah, no, it hit on all three levels. It was great.
Wonderful. Okay, you have one key now. Where to next?
Let's dig into wordplay. Let's go there.
All right, you want to do the unlocked question?
Yeah, we'll go with the unlocked question.
All right, in the wordplay category, I finally did it. I've been wanting to do it for a long time. Here's a round about anagrams.
Ooh, okay.
You are welcome to write down whatever you want.
That's coward talk.
Here is your unlocked anagram question. Genuine Class is a fitting acronym for what actor who is the only actor to ever win an Academy Award for their role in a Star Wars film?
Alec Guinness.
Yes, Genuine Class is Alec Guinness, and 2 points.
Look, Ma,
has...
no hands on that one.
True. Can't confirm. Jay did not need to write that one down. Where to next?
So a couple keys on the board, but I don't know. I want to dip my toe into everything. Let's move over to the unlock question in Bluey names, part two. Oh,
all right. Just like Caleb's episode, here is a potpourri round where every correct answer has the name of a Bluey character in it.
All right.
Here's your unlock question. What American rapper who also goes by the nickname Misdemeanor released her last studio album, The Cookbook, in 2005?
You're speaking my language. I was in my mid-20s when she came out with this. That is Missy Elliott.
Missy is the Bluey character, mm-hmm. And Missy Elliott is correct. Where to next, Jay?
Oh, let's finish out that theoretical block and go to technology in 95's unlocked question.
All right, you have painted yourself into hard mode of Lockdown Trivia here. We will see what happens. Here is the technology in 1995 unlocked question. Now alongside HTML and CSS, the write once, run anywhere concept was introduced with what new programming language in 1995?
The write once, run anywhere concept. That, because it operates on like 3 billion devices or whatever they say, I'm going to go with Java.
Yeah, Java is correct. That is, it's a pub trivia question. So there's that. And there are no more unlocked questions on the board. So those seasoned listeners know that Jay has put herself in a streak-building strategy with bonus questions available to get back in. Mm-hmm. Where would you like to go next with your four keys?
Let's take two of them and use them on physics. fair.
Your two key physics question is this. Mixing red and green paint will give you a brown color because they are subtractive in nature. But mixing red and green light yields what color due to light being additive in nature?
Ooh, so fuck you, first off. Because I'm red-green colorblind.
Oh, nice. Didn't know that.
That's not an unknown thing in the sphere. So it's going to be either cyan, magenta, or yellow. So I'm trying to map the light grid, like the Venn diagram in my head. So we're adding red and green, so it's not going to have any blue in it. Just going to take out cyan and magenta. I'm going to say yellow.
Yeah, I love the deductive reasoning there. That is correct. Yellow is the red and green light. That was a very hard concept for middle school me to understand in science class. I have a distinct memory of very much struggling with light being put together because I couldn't wrap my head around it being different than paint being put together.
The thing that really throws me is if you're using like one of those theatrical spotlights and you stick like a red gel over it, obviously the light that comes out is red. But then if you stick like a blue gel over it, the light that comes out is nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you've taken all but the blue, red wavelengths out, and the blue is not going to let anything but blue wavelengths through.
Yep. Oh, theater physics. Mm-hmm. And you have enough keys to do whatever you want now. This is the point where I don't even keep track at this point. You've got five keys. Where to next?
Let's go big. Wordplay for four.
All right. Here's the hypothetically hardest anagram question. A group of people who work to preserve natural habitats and constantly talk about it could be described as what two anagrammatic words?
Conversationists and conservationists.
Yes, that is correct. I actually ran into a fact check on myself on this one because one source said conversationalist and conservationalist is the longest anagram in the English language. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm pretty sure that conservationalist is not a word.
Yeah.
And I looked it up and it is not. That was just wrong. So that's why the clue ended up being what it was.
No, fair enough on that. I don't know that I would have had any confidence in either of them being right or wrong.
Yeah.
I feel like conservationist was. Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely right. This is people that want to save us and won't shut up. We are so far 6-for-6 in your lockdown trivia game. Where to next?
Love that for me. Let's go tech in 95 and let's use three keys.
All right. Your three key tech in 95 question is this. Internet Explorer 1.0 was released as part of what expansion for Windows 95 that used the same naming convention as a number of modern-day streaming services?
Ooh, this is a good one. Same naming convention as a lot of online streaming services. Is this... I am not 100% sure on this one. This is the first one where I'm a little iffy on, but I'm going to say Windows 95 Plus.
Oh, you are so close, Jay.
It's Max, isn't it?
No, you were correct on the naming convention, but the expansion was called Microsoft Plus.
Oh.
Yes.
Microsoft, learn to name your shit better.
Yeah. Well, they were the OG pluses, so there's that. And unfortunately, for the first time, Jay, and hopefully the only time, I will have to take your keys away. So now we play a bonus question game. Where would you like to go to get back into your expert categories?
Let's go to before and after.
All right. My favorite category of trivia. Here is your before and after clue. An educational cartoon that ran from 1994 to 1997 with Little Richard singing its theme song, plus a light lager introduced in 1989 owned by the same company as Michelob and Goose Island.
Ooh, I've got one half of it. I'm struggling on the other half. Because the educational show is absolutely Magic School Bus. And I think the way you phrased it, we're going to build off of the bus there. I drank so much of this in college. I think you're going for Magic School Bush.
Yes, Magic School Bush is correct. I would have accepted Bush or Bush Light, either one. But that is correct. And that was kind of a funny concept when I was writing that clue. So
that's a very different energy if you don't know the C's in that answer.
Yes. It just hit me what you said. I was looking
at it. It comes at you in waves, yeah.
Yeah, it does. One key back in your pocket, Jay, and you are able to get back into your expert categories if you want. Where to next?
Let's go to physics with that one key.
Your one key physics question is this. What term describing the stability of atoms shares its name with a 1998 FPS video game published for Microsoft Windows?
This will always annoy me that they never got to a third one, because Valve can't count to three. This is Half-Life.
Half-Life is correct. And I'm just now realizing that I may have accidentally written a very heavy 1990s game for you. Not that you're complaining.
Oh, damn.
Yes.
Whatever shall I do?
Two keys. We will find out what you will do. Where to next?
Let's keep building those keys and go to, speaking of the 90s, technology in 1995.
For one or two key?
Let's go with one key for now.
All right. The one key technology in 1995 question is this. Released in the U.S. in September, what revolutionary gaming system has since outsold its primary competitor in console sales almost 3-1?
Released in September 95. Well, we're going to take Sega off the plate. Yeah, Atari. Atari had like the Jaguar and the Lynx back then, and those sold like shit. So this would be something that competed with like, I think the Sega Saturn was like 97, 98. So we're talking 95. Is this Super Nintendo would have come out in like 90. Would it be the GameCube or the N64? Yeah, let's go with the N64 by Nintendo.
This is actually when PlayStation released.
Oh, that's right.
And it has,
I didn't adopt till like 97, so I forget.
It has beaten down Xbox since then. So, I will have to take your key away.
Well, shucks and fooey.
Yes. Where to next?
Let's try to get that key back by going to Deep Cuts.
All right. Jay's self-reported favorite music genre was 90s and 2000s alternative. So here's a band or artist that is definitively both of those things. Here are five songs from their first album. Custom Concern. Beachside Property. Ionizes and Atomizes, Novocaine Stain, Talking Shit About a Pretty Sunset.
I've never heard of any of those damn songs, Dalton. I'm trying to figure out who it would be just based on the names.
I do pick songs that try to give aesthetically what the band's all about.
And this is debut album, you said?
Yes, it came out in the 90s and they played through the 90s and 2000s as an alt-rock group.
I never owned Dude Ranch, but these feel very early pop punk. So I'm going to throw a wild guess in and say Blink-182.
It's a trope of mine at trivia to guess that if I don't know in this general vibe. Unfortunately, this is Modest Mouse.
Oh, okay.
Where to next?
Well, the really awesome thing about Lockdown Trivia, Dalton, is that the board looks great as far as I'm concerned. They all look the same color, so I'm winning. Across the board.
Yes, the red green colorblind comment earlier. Now folks know that is how I mark correct and incorrect answers. That's, you know what? We need a little
sort of some saturation in
accommodation.
Okay.
We need some accommodation for the game. How does blue for correct look compared to the green?
A lot more visible.
Okay, cool. I should ask about that. We're gonna go blue for correct.
And then you can keep incorrect because it's not blue.
It's not blue.
Yeah,
fair
I
enough.
Tell people there are only two colors I can see, and it's blurple and gray.
So, interesting. Color blindness is not something that you can easily empathize with.
You either get it or you don't. It's
yeah,
really hard to explain to
don't.
People, honestly.
Yeah. All right. I have fixed
the number
the
one question is, what does that look like? I'm like, looks like what it looks like. I just can't tell you the answer to it.
Yeah. Well, the board is now more patriotic looking, Jay.
It is.
And where would you like to go with your next
question? We got to get back on the horse here. Let's go to Stormy Trivia.
All right. Stormy Trivia. Something I think you would enjoy. What do people know about you outside of Bluey is the question. It's the running joke in the community. Here's a question about feet, Jay.
I'm like, well, it's a Stormy, so maybe it has to do with rum. That would be the other thing.
Yeah, the one podcast so far you've been on that you haven't given your line about what rum you're drinking.
Well, you haven't asked. I'm not just going to introduce myself on it.
We'll get to that. Here's your question in Stormy Trivia. 20% of the population has a longer second toe than a big toe, a condition called what name that shares its name with a salt brand?
Ooh, I've heard of this as like the Roman toe, but that's obviously not what you're looking for. Would this be the Morton toe? I'm going to go with that.
Morton's toe is correct. Yes.
I've never heard that term. I've always either heard of it as I think the Roman toe or the Egyptian toe, and I could be wrong on which is which.
Well, I'm glad the back door was there, and I'm glad we know salt.
Oh, I love a back door. It's fine.
Yes, same. And one key back in your pocket. The game is back open. Where to next?
Let's go to wordplay with that key.
Anagrams back on the board. Here is your question. 11 plus 2 not only equals 13, but is a 13-letter anagram for what other simple and equal mathematical function?
This is one of my favorite combinations because it's wordplay and math. 11 plus 2 is an anagram of 12 plus 1.
Yes, it is. I thought you would enjoy that question. Two keys now and even more opportunity. Where to?
Let's see if we can acquire some more. Let's go to Bluey names again for one key here.
All right. Bluey names for one key and a risky choice. Here is your question. Allegedly named after a horse, what satisfying candy bar made its first sale in Chicago for 5 cents in 1930?
Oh, he's the long dachshund, the wiener dog. That's Snickers.
Snickers is correct. And this would probably be a good time to put everyone on notice that I'm not writing another Bluey category until I've watched Bluey. I'm just
well, you've already
no.
had Caleb. You've got me. I think you're covered.
Yeah,
sorry, Tim.
That. Two keys back in your pocket, Jay. Three keys back in your pocket, Jay.
All right. We've got to start going big here. I'm going to go for the three-key question in wordplay.
Wordplay's three-key anagram is this. Anagrammatically needing to grow a spine or grow a penis is what former vice president, who is the second of two vice presidents to resign.
I've written this into a pub trivia question before because I wanted to say grow a penis so very badly on a microphone. This is Spiro Agnew.
Spiro Agnew is correct. It is funny writing these games for people that I know have written a million questions because I'm like, I know that she's written this before.
Yeah, so, odds are.
Four keys finally again, and the world is your oyster. Where to
it
next?
Is Tekken 95 is scaring me as I look at the board. I'm 1-2 in that one. I've taken the four key question off of wordplay. Let's go. Ooh, I don't know where to go. You have built a game that frustrates me in terms of strategy. Like the game designer in me is like, what is the optimal move here? I have four keys, but if I get it wrong, I lose all damn four, but I want to get four. Physics for four.
All right. The hypothetically hardest physics question. Everybody else playing along checks out for 30 seconds. In mathematical physics, what is the name for the four-dimensional space consisting of three-dimensional Euclidean space and time?
Ooh, okay, so I'm down to two, because I know Stephen Hawking did a ton of work in the marriage of space and time into a single four-dimensional concept. I've read A Brief History of Time, but you've got Einstein, who did a ton of work on relativity and time's interaction with space. So would this be named for Einstein, or would it be named for Hawking? But it could be somebody else. There could be a third option out there. I don't think it's Lawrence. Wouldn't throw Rosen under the bridge there. Three people will get that joke. I'm uncertain as to whether it's Heisenberg or not. Three people will get that joke.
I was one of those three at least.
Right? Let's go with YOLO this. Hawking SpaceTime.
This is called Minkowski space.
I have heard that term before. Okay.
So is that a fair question?
It is a four key question for sure, but okay. It is a fair question.
All right. Then I will
I have heard of Minkowski space, yeah.
I will regretfully take your key. I had to think of what was one thing maybe Jay doesn't know in physics, because I'm not going to fucking get her anything else. So anyway, Jay, I do have to take your keys now.
You
clear
do.
Strategy is out in front of us, and it will require two bonus keys to get back into the game.
Yeah, I am dangling on the razor's edge here. Let's go to National Blank Day.
Today we are celebrating National Olives Day as of recording. So here's a question about olives. The only olive variety originally developed in the United States is what olive that shares its name with a kind of important spiritual assignment, usually elsewhere?
I hate olives.
I love olives.
You know, there's two types of people in the world, Dalton, and we're both of them. thank you for the backdoor in. It's the only reason I'm going to have a shot on this at all. I think, I hope, or this is going to be a really short recording, that you're looking for Mission Olives.
Mission Olives will continue your game, Jay. That Woo-hoo! Is correct.
Love a question that's two questions.
And up next is our win in the world. One of the harder playing questions. We'll see what it has for you. I'm going to give you three things that happened in a year. Mm-hmm. We'll try to identify the exact year those all occurred. Here is your clue. George Orwell's 1984 is published in the United Kingdom. Mao Zedong proclaims the founding of the People's Republic of China. The first jet-to-jet aerial refueling occurs.
I'm within a three-year window on this, and that's the thing that sucks. This is late 40s. This is 47, 48, or 49. If I'm going to go down on this, and there's a 2 out of 3 chance I go down on this, I'm going to go down going with my gut. And I think I have remembered somewhere along the line that I find it deliciously ironic that 1984 was published in 1948 with the two last digits reversed. So I'm going to say 1948.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, this is 1949.
Ah, okay.
Is when they were published.
Yeah, maybe he wrote it in 48.
That may be the case. I don't know how long it took him to write it. Jay, that locks us out of our game, unfortunately.
It does, yeah.
We're sitting here looking at 13 points, and I honestly think it was all of... I think there's a lot of questions left on the board you would have got.
I unfortunately think that might be the case, yeah.
Yeah, so Jay, first off... in honor of the fact that I've heard you say it on every other podcast, what are you drinking?
Well, to wash away the stench of that defeat, I am going to be reaching for the bottle of Siesta Key Spiced Rum out of Sarasota, Florida. Not a sponsor. Could be.
Yes. And Jay, you've got a lot coming up. You mentioned earlier, it will already have happened by the time this airs, but you're breaking a Guinness World Record.
Well, that's the hope. I'm at least trying to.
Yeah, tell me about how that process and how that attempt even came to be a thing.
Sure. So back in about July of last year, I was randomly kind of looking online at Guinness stuff for trivia writing. And just out of abject curiosity, I typed in like the Guinness World Record search engine, like trivia. And that didn't pull anything up. So I typed in quiz and found that there is an existing record for longest marathon as a quiz master. It's about 34 and a half hours. It was set like 2 years ago by a guy in Romania, and I have a reputation as the, quote, hardest working woman in trivia, and I can stay up for 36 hours. I have to take a lot of sleep medication to fall asleep as it is, and I am a part owner of a coffee shop that I can insist stays open overnight. So I'm like, you know, let's make a run for it, and that's coming up June 7th and 8th as we speak. So it's 6 days from now. Time of recording would have been close to like 6 weeks ago when this comes out.
Yeah, it's gonna be really exciting.
Y'all support me. I support y'all as soon as I can, as much as I can, and we're all gonna benefit that way.
What else you got going on coming up? Shout outs, anything like that aside from the world record?
So yeah, about 3 days before the world record attempt, I will make an appearance on Jeopardy. It's been like a lifelong dream of mine to make it on the show. I know literally dozens of people who've been on there in my time as like an online trivia creator, and it's I can't describe how awesome it was to stand on that stage.
Ken Jennings as cool as he thinks it seems?
Yeah, he's chill and he's tall as hell. He's like 6'4", 6'5", really tall.
That
yeah, well, everybody, all the contestants are like lifted up automatically on these risers that come out of the stage so that we're all like camera wise at the same height, and even then he's still towering above.
I had no idea he was that tall. Jay, I am honored to have you on here. I'm glad you came and played. I know that there will be a future effort made, and by that time I will have watched Bluey and maybe give you a proper content of the show category.
You were never doing a Bluey round again.
No, at least not until I watch the show.
Okay, you should watch the show. It's great for the inner child in you.
Yeah, and everybody else is on notice. I'm not doing it until then. Jay gets the next and last Bluey category that will be on Lockdown Trivia. So eat your heart out, Caleb Greenman. Jay, thanks for coming on. You were a joy, and good luck in the world record. Drink caffeine, get sleep before, and take care of yourself. And afterwards, you will have earned a very, very long nap.
I absolutely will have. Thank you so much for having me on, Dalton. It has been a delight. And you are way better looking than you sound.
I have a good voice for radio, and I have a good face for radio. So there's that. All right. We'll see you, Jay.
All right. Take care, Dalton.
I mean, come on, guys. That episode was awesome. Jay is awesome. We had so much fun, and honestly, I did very little editing on that episode. Once we started that game, we just kind of rolled with the punches and had a good time. Obviously, and I think Jay's going to be fine with me saying this, the strategy was not optimal, and that's how Jay boxed herself out of a lot of questions she could have got to. When we were done recording, we did go through the other questions, and her score would have been a lot higher had she taken a more strategic route through the question mapping. So this is a good time for me to say what I really think about this question choosing strategy. I think that a lot of folks have figured out, you know, run through a category as best you can. When you get the keys, roll it back through the category. But what I think is actually the best way to go about this, and to spoil it really for those that are going to be able to play in the future, is to hit an unlocked question, but then hit a one key in a different category, and a two key in your third category, and a three key in your fourth category. And the reason I say that is because, assuming you're going to get them right anyway, which you have to assume for the other strategy of just rolling through a category as well, it gives you a barometer on how difficult those categories are. And so not only is it efficiently using your keys, but it gives you context on the whole rest of your game. So I think the perfect strategy in Lockdown is to start the hardest category you think it's going to be with unlocked, and then so on and so forth with the one and two and three. That way you have tested each one, you have efficiently used your keys, and you can get to all the questions you deserve to get to, because care is taken in writing them. And if Jay's score, had she got to all of her questions, been the score she got on this episode, let's just say it would have been a lot higher. Our bonus question from this episode is, oh, fuck it. Let's do one more Bluey question, guys. We're going to retire it. Let's do one more. What unarmed modern Japanese martial art has been an Olympic sport since 1964 and is the most prominent form of jacket wrestling competed internationally? I want to thank Jay again for coming on the show, and I want to invite you to join us for our last episode of Season 1 next week. It's going to be a great one with a name you all know and love. And then we'll take a 3-week break before we come back with a revitalized Season 2. Sign up for your own episode with the link in the description of each episode. And while you are thinking about what your four categories are going to be, the correct answer to our bonus question is judo. New episodes will come out every Wednesday morning, so check back each week for some more fun. I can't wait to continue to learn, continue to write, and continue to play. But most importantly, continue to unlock our brains one key at a time. I'm Dalton McGee, and I'll see you next week.
So I'm setting this world record attempt next weekend, right? But it's not the only world record I have ever held.
Okay.
It'll be the only Guinness recognized one. Back in the day, and this is like 2009, when the first Rock Band game came out, I set a goal to hold the number one score on every song on the disc, on drums, on hard difficulty, and I did it at one point.
Wow.
Yeah, this is before the online leaderboards are on, so this was posted to a website called Score Hero that had been set up for like Guitar Hero. But like a dozen of those still stand now. I check every couple of years out of curiosity.
That's cool. I missed the Rock Band bus, but Guitar Hero I was all over.
Okay.
It's funny, I can play multiple instruments. Drums is not one of them. And my brain does not work to like be tapping while my hand's doing different thing. Like,
sure,
it just doesn't work. I don't know why I can't do it. I cannot do it. I'm doing good to like dance on beat or tap on beat when playing piano or guitar.
Okay.
And my feet just don't work.
But having like three or four different things going on with your limbs simultaneously. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't do double kick. So I get it.